The reading this morning is from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 19. You can find this on page 884 of the Church Bibles, and the words will be on the screen. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I'm certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Susan. Are we all right? I can't hear very well, so I'm trusting Leslie at the back that everything's fine. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. My name's Helen. I'm one of the associate vicars here. And it's great to be with you this morning as we read about this really tough day at the office for Daniel. If you're just joining us for this week or visiting, you won't know perhaps that we are in the middle of a series at looking at community. So as a church, our stated purpose that we are all working towards is that we are building a community to reach a community with the love of God. Brilliant. It's what flows through us. That's what we are about. And everything we do, we want to measure up and say, is this building a community so that we can reach a community with the love of God? And 2 weeks ago, we looked at a passage from Acts 2, at the very first Christian community, very first church community. And we read there that all of the first believers, just after Pentecost, the very first days of the church, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we wondered what it would look like to be devoted to the fellowship. And we looked at a Greek word, koinonia. We tried to explain a bit about what that means. And we discovered that the relationships between Christians are called to be profoundly deep and significant. We're not just called to smile at each other over a cup of tea, although we will do that this morning. So there's nothing wrong with that. But actually, we're called to something more than that. And then last week, Mike expertly took us through a passage in Hebrews where the writer to the Hebrews was encouraging them not to give up meeting together. And the way that Mike took us through that, he told us we need to pay attention to each other. He explained that we are a diverse bunch of people and we all have different priorities and different ways we spend our time. And sometimes, believe it or not, we don't always necessarily see eye to eye. I know that's shocking. I don't mean to be shocking. But sometimes, as a group of people, that's difficult. But yet we're called to encourage each other and to meet together. And both of those kind of thoughts in our discussion about what it means to be community, so we can reach a community with the love of God, are very much about what we do here, how we meet together, and how we support each other, and how we interact with each other when we are about our kind of church life, our church business. That might not just be on a Sunday, hopefully it isn't. Hopefully that's at other times in the week as well. But of course, our DNA, our purpose is to build a community so we can reach a community with the love of God. So we're not just thinking about doing community when we are all together. There's a time and a place for thinking about what value our community has and what we do for each other and with each other when we're not together. And this is why I love this story of Daniel. Daniel, for me, is a really inspiring story, inspiring character. A bit of background. Daniel is taken away from Israel in the exile. So the Babylonians come, they ransack Jerusalem, they take all the holy things and all the people, and they take those who are strong and fit over with them to Babylon. And Daniel and these three friends are now in exile, sort of in prison, but actually living a reasonable life of luxury in the temple that belongs to, in the palace that belongs to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And they've actually been singled out as being really skilled and erudite and capable young men. And so they have been training, probably by this stage, for a couple of years to be the king's advisors. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a king who is known, this isn't just in the Bible, this is ancient history also tells us that he was a very bloodthirsty king, and perhaps slightly unhinged, more than slightly unhinged. And so Daniel's job as an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar is, shall we say, a little bit risky. And as you heard from the story this morning, Nebuchadnezzar's had an unpleasant dream, and not only does he want somebody to tell him what the dream means, but actually he's not going to share the details of the dream. It's a bit of a test, isn't it? He says to them, you need to tell me what the dream means. Was what happened in my dream before you interpret it. And quite understandably, I would suggest, his advisors say, well, I don't know, no one can do that. And so Arioch, his kind of chief of staff, turns up on the door of Daniel and says, well, I'm here to kill you, really, because the king has decided that's what needs to happen. Ever had a bad day at the office? What would you do? What would you do? And this is a moment in, I think, one of the greatest Bible stories, well, I'm sure I shouldn't compare, most profoundly inspiring Bible studies, where Daniel has got to think on his feet. And the first thing Daniel thinks is, well, I need some time. And I think in one of the bravest things he can possibly do, he doesn't run away from the unhinged madman who calls himself king, who wants to kill him. He actually goes towards him and says, can I have some time? That in itself is brave and daring, and I'm not sure I would be able to do that. And then the next thing that Daniel does is he goes to his friends, in this version called Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, who you may in Sunday school have become acquainted with as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Those were their Hebrew names. And he says, this is a serious situation. This is life and death. Will you pray for me? It's the middle of the night. And I think we as a community need to be thinking really, really strongly, when I am not in my community, in my safe place, I'm not sure I would go so far as to say in exile, but actually away from this community of hopefully supporting and loving relationships, when I'm perhaps in my job or I'm overseas or whatever it is, if there is a situation like that, who are my Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Now, I want to do some research this morning. This is very profound academic research. My methods are just out for peer review at the moment, but I'm sure that they will be passed as first class and rigorous. It's called the stand up if method. Everyone's panicking. Nobody has to do anything they don't want to do, but I'd really just love to do a little bit of research this morning, if I may. Now, very often we hear, rightly so, from our mission partners, and we've heard recently from the Madonettes, and we've heard from Paul and Alison Guinness last week, people we send to really quite tricky parts of the world to show God's love, to bring about transformation, to do the very hard work of being Christ's hands and feet in those places, and we pray for them. What we do a little bit less often is talk about the missionaries we send to the city, or we send to the classroom, or we send to the hospital, or we send to the school or the shopping centre. And so today, I'd love for us to know who they are, if that's all right. So, we're going to play Stand Up If. No, this is serious research. So, if you are willing, would you mind standing up if you work in education? Would you mind just doing that for me, if you're able? Would you stand up if you work in education? Education at the moment is a tough place to work, isn't it? Everything changing every 5 minutes, lots of political wrangling, lots of stress on resources, lots of cuts. Can I say thank you? I want you all to feel like you are sent out from this church with our prayers and our love to go and work in education. Can we just say thank you to those people who work in education? Thank you. Please sit down. If you work in healthcare, could you stand up, please? Not quite so many. Thank you for being brave. Now, I want you also to feel like you go into your day-to-day jobs caring for people, helping people to be healthy, helping people to get better, to overcome challenges in life, and perhaps holding the hands of people who aren't going to get better, and being as much as you can, within the constraints you face, Christ's hands and feet in those situations. Can we say thank you and well done to those people? You can sit down again now. Thank you. If you are a parent or a homemaker, and that is the thing that fills most of your time, do you mind just standing up? I know there are going to be some. Go on, be brave. Thank you. Oh, loads all of a sudden. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I want to say thank you to you for building solid community, because you do so much and you care so much, both for your own children, but actually that becomes a relationship. You can sit down again. Thank you. A relationship that actually includes and supports other people. It's so important in our community. Can we say thank you to those who do homemaking? Now, I might be projecting a little bit of what I used to find when I sat in church, but I used to sit in church maybe 15 years ago and hear about the missionaries who were kind of like just below the angels, and the vicars and the clergy, who I used to think anyway were just below that. And then the sort of the nurses and doctors and the teachers and the parents and the carers. And I was sitting there as a banking lawyer thinking, when are they gonna pray for me? And it happened, it did happen once. It did happen once. So, if you work in finance, or you're an accountant, or a banker, or an estate agent, would you mind standing up? Please, be honest. We love you. There's more than that. This is Reigate. Come on. And can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for what you do when you go out into those workplaces day by day and you do your jobs that keep the economics and the commerce of us, our society going, and in some cases keep it on the straight and narrow. I am grateful, we are grateful to you for spending your time doing that. And you go into a place, my experience says, which is actually sometimes quite godless. And you go as the hands and feet of Christ. So we want to say we are sending you with our love and prayers into those places. Can we say thank you to those people? Please feel free to sit down. If I haven't mentioned what you do, and you're feeling, oh, they haven't sent me like I used to feel, so I know that feeling, please will you also feel sent into what it is that you do day by day. Maybe you're in the creative arts or transport or all kinds of different things that are necessary. Now, the thing I want to ask you is this, because sometimes we have a tough day at the office. Who are your Meshach, Shadrach, and your Abednego? If you are in hot water, in difficult situation, at work or in the home, or something comes and is a big challenge, who is it that you could ring in the middle of the night and say, I need to really be on my game tomorrow. I need the answers to these questions, and at the moment, I don't know what they are. Please, will you stay up and pray with me? Because if we are being community, we're not just doing community here. We are community that is sending each other out to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. We are building community to reach a community with the love of God. And actually that involves prayer. I think prayer is just pretty critical in this whole thing. And if you don't know who those people are, then we need to find them. Now, last week I went on, and I really don't apologise for this, really. I went on quite a lot about life groups. Now, I know, I'm realistic, that life groups are weekly group, usually in the evening or fortnightly, that people come together to just share life and read the Bible together. Sometimes it doesn't work, especially for young families. If you're a commuter, it doesn't work. But that doesn't stop us finding those people who will have our backs. The title of this morning is Watch My Back. And so it might be that you need to just find one or two other people who you know already or who you might have met here for the first time and say, just sometimes, shall we meet together and pray? So that on the day when you go into whatever mission field God has called you into, whether it's another country, whether it's the hospital or the classroom or the shopping center or the office, I can ring you and say, I need you to pray because I'm about to go into this really difficult meeting. I hope for none of us it's life and death like it was for Daniel, but you never know how things will go, and we need these relationships. Of course, the flip question of that is, who is your Daniel? We all need a Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but actually, who is your Daniel? Who is it that you send with your prayers and your love into their day-to-day place of work, into what they do for a living? And actually, if we're taking our responsibility as community seriously, yes, we are called absolutely to pray for those all around the world serving God who are partnered with our church, St. Mary's, at the moment. But I wonder if you might find maybe three people, three Daniels maybe, and you would take an interest in what their day-to-day work looks like, what the challenges are that they face. Maybe someone from your life group, or again, somebody in a small prayer relationship with each other, and support them and commit to pray for them in their mission field, wherever it might be, because we are all sent out to be missionaries, to be Daniels all around in places where we might not sort of get to do the Christian thing very overtly, but nonetheless, we bring the Holy Spirit into those places because he dwells in our heart. That's all I really wanted to encourage you to say this morning. So I think we're going to stand together and we're going to pray for God to show us who these relationships will be and who we will be praying with and for. Is that okay? Should we stand together? So if you want to, you don't have to do this. You might want to close your eyes. You might want to open your hands. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. We want to hear from you this morning because we long to be an effective community, a community that supports and loves each other, where we're devoted to the fellowship. But we long to be a community that supports each other, not just when we're together, but when we are all scattered in different places. Lord, I want anyone who catches the train tomorrow morning to know that they go in your love and in your power with the prayers of their community. Lord, I want those here who feel like they're in a thankless task or a role that isn't approved of, to know that you have called them and you will use them in those places. Lord, we thank you that this is a large, vibrant, friendly church. But sometimes that makes it really hard to work out who our Daniels are and who our Meshach, Shadrachs and Abednegoes are. And just in a moment's quiet, Lord, would you guide us to think of who those people are for each one of us? Who has got my back as I next go to work, next do the thing that takes my time and my energy, as I next go to care for my loved one? And whose back have I got? Lord God, we pray that we would go ever deeper with each other. That our community would be strong and deep and life-giving and transforming, so that your love might abound in so many different communities. And Lord, if anyone goes to work tomorrow thinking, oh well, I'm not sure if it's life and death, but this is pretty hard. Right now, I pray for the wisdom of God to be with you in that situation, maybe even today or tomorrow as you go back to work or to your situation. I pray that you would know the love and the grace of God abundant in your life and helping you through those situations, as we saw Daniel being helped. And may the love and life and light of Christ shine out of you and help you to go for him in each of those places. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.